This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, talking to Walt Ranieri about adaptive sailing for blind sailors.
Any good coach, any good sailing coach is going to tell you, close your eyes and get a sense of where the boat is, how it's heeling, where's the wind coming from. And in fact, a lot of sports, there are moments when you're going to close your eyes to just recenter yourself, whether it's in between a play, in between a pitch, something to just allow yourself to resettle. And for us blind sailors, it's all about sound, of course. We have audible buoys on the race course, and I mentally prepare a kind of digital map in my brain as to where I am on the course, listening to the buoys, identify with some mental triangulation that I'm on the right side or the left side. And, of course, with match racing, it's kind of like one-on-one, so I need to know where that other boat is, too, because it's trying to make my life miserable.
So, Walt, you have three people in your team. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, the blind match racing, there's three blind people on board, no one sighted. And the first time I say this to people, they're like, what? No one sighted? Yep. No one sighted on board. And so we navigate around the course by listening to where the port, which is the left side, the starboard, which is the right side, and the windward, which is the upwind buoy. They each make unique sounds. And by virtue of, see, I'm a little bit closer to the starboard one, I'm farther from the port one, and, oh, I'm below the line or I'm above the line. And then each boat has a sound emitter that says that I'm on port tack, or I'm leaning to the right, or I'm on starboard tack, I'm leaning to the left. And so I know what the other boat's doing, they know what I'm doing, and sometimes it's a little bit of controlled chaos. Two boats are going right at one another, and there's blind people on board, and they can't see. And those sound indicators really help out to identify who needs to keep out of the way and when. So there are no real adaptations for blind sailing other than the audible marks. You're not tethered. You're on the boat. I do wear a helmet. I'm at the back of the boat, and sometimes the boom swings across. I think that's why they call it the boom. And when I've been, it's called a head strike. I've had a few of those, and I've been very grateful that I've been wearing a helmet. So, you know, for all of you sports enthusiasts out there, you're familiar with those, you know, those moments when things don't go exactly right, and it's good to have the right equipment around. And for sailing, it's pretty minimal. Gloves, because you don't want your hands all ripped up with the lines, and something on your head so you don't get whacked. A lot of your listeners, you don't prepare every day for the worst thing that can happen, but sometimes it does. And the most important thing you need is an adaptive mindset to move forward, because without it, you know, you're going to get stuck. And it's all about, as human beings, to stay relevant, to stay connected on the planet Earth with other human beings, you got to keep moving forward.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. And for those of you watching on twitch.tv, as I swing my little high-def camera around, we're very happy to have some guests in studio here for SailsportTalk.com. First of all, Patty Mangan is with us. Patty, how are you?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Great. We're not getting her mic. Let's try that again.
I'm great, Rick.
Oh, wait, there you are.
Here I am.
Okay, now it's up. Okay, and our guest in studio is Carol Hink, a U.S. Coast Guard veteran. Carol, nice to have you in.
Thank you for having me.
Now, the Coast Guard, when I think of the Coast Guard growing up in the Bay Area, I think of Coast Guard Island in Alameda and keeping our shores safe from, I always think it's safe from like contraband and pirates and drug dealers and such things, and then rescuing people. How would you sort of sum it up?
Well, I think you're on the right track for sure. And in fact, I'm originally from New York. I was born and raised in Brooklyn to a fisherman, and always saw the Coast Guard in action. They had a big air base over there, rescue base, and always had it since I was always out in the water, and really admired their work. That just really called to me. So that's what made me think about enlisting, to get some money for college and to go and help people. Mm-hmm. And when I was my last duty station brought me out to the Bay Area, I was in Middletown, believe it or not, which is,
those
that don't know, it is about 2 hours from San Francisco.
It's Clear Lake, right?
Exactly, Lake County. And that was kind of my expression, too, where I thought, I'm in the Coast Guard. Where's the water? I'm not near the water. And I still haven't quite forgiven them for it because I spent my whole Coast Guard career on land.
Oh, no.
Yes. And this ocean girl was very upset about that. So I have a kind of a grudge, you know, a love grudge there. But I was stationed at a Loran station, which is pre-GPS. So before you had GPS to help you navigate, Loran was it. It was we would transmit this high-powered signal, and sailors, captains, and pilots on planes even would use a receiver to triangulate the signal and find out where they are within like 99.9% accuracy. And
wow.
That's what I did before my enlistment was up. And when you mentioned Alameda, what stuck in my mind was the World Series earthquake, because that was my first earthquake.
Mm-hmm. That was a biggie, too.
That was a biggie, yes. Yeah.
We just had one in Humboldt, I guess, this morning as well, too. Yeah, getting a little bit there. Patty, do you have questions? Yeah?
I do. The reason we've got Carol,
you just
got
to talk into the mic, though.
The reason we've got Carol here today is because she came up, kind of floated up for me here in the Bay Area as a new sailor, someone who has... So, Carol, tell us about how you got on the water.
I'm still blown away by it all and in deep gratitude, Patty. It has been amazing. So, right at the beginning of the pandemic, where we were in lockdown, I live in Redwood City, which has a little port area, mm-hmm. and it's on the peninsula here in the Bay Area. And we're on lockdown. It's the first week of lockdown, and we don't know it's going to last for years at this point, right? And I'm walking around, and there's a marina there, and I meet this sailor who also happens to be this boat manufacturer. He develops boats as well. He builds boats. Started talking with him and thought, oh, my gosh, yeah, I've always wanted to sail. It's on my bucket list. It seems like so far out of reach. It's never, that's something that I don't know how you make that happen. Like, it's so difficult that I kept thinking, oh, maybe when I get money and when I have retired and I buy a boat, it just seemed far off. He's like, no, if you really, truly want to sail, I'll teach you. And so during the pandemic, that's when I started in 2020. Hmm. And he had a 26-foot beautiful little, it looks like he designed it himself, but it looks like a little Beneteau. And I learned on that and sailed so many hours just on that. It was perfect. And it just, once I was out there, I knew this is what I've been waiting for. And so I started sharing my experience, all the adventures, the points where you're scared to death, the points that you have to work through it, and everything in between, and the community side to it. So I was sharing it everywhere, on social media, to my friends. And I even started sharing it on LinkedIn, which, I didn't expect it. I thought, who really is going to care? Well, that gets more engagement when I post about those adventures, because it's all about it really coming from the heart and your personal, triumphs and losses and tribulations. And through that, a PR agency found me and invited me. And this is where everything blew up in the best way possible, they invited me to join the press corps for this company, this AI company called Translated. And they are doing the OGR, the Ocean Globe Race, this time next year. And it's formerly the Whitbread race.
Oh, okay.
It's a 50-year anniversary. It's a very special time. And so they got inspired, and their whole story is inspiring on its own. They got inspired to do this. And so they bought a sister ship to put in the Bay Area, because they're based out of Rome, and that's where the race boat is. And they are going to be, they decided, let's share our excitement about how, we believe in humans is their motto for their business, and it is what they have on their boat as well. It's just mm-hmm. this giant, we believe in humans, and they really do walk the walk. And so they said, let's invite people from the Bay Area to experience what it might be like. And Paul Kayard, who is...
Mm-hmm. He's been in here.
Yep. major influence in the sailing world. He is part of this project with Marco Trombetti, who's the CEO of Translated. And so he's deeply involved. And so he has been leading these adventures out on their sister boat right out of St. Francis Yacht Club. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe my luck in getting invited to be on it. And we joke about it now is that I'm the girl that won't leave, because every time they have a spot available, I'm like, can I go? Can I join? And can I bring other people on? Mm-hmm. And so I've been very fortunate to bring other people on to experience this, because it's a 65-foot swan. It's just gorgeous. Mm. And it's the largest boat I've been on. So for me to see how big the lines are and how the load, how heavy the load can be, and how it, and it's so many, it's quite heavy compared to any of the race boats. It's not a light race boat. It's an older boat.
Rick Tittle and Patty Mangan of SailSportTalk.com are speaking with Coast Guard veteran Carol Hank. Well, you talked about those moments of peril. Can you take us through some of those that when you were experiencing?
They are ingrained in my mind. Absolutely. I think one of them that was, to this day, I think it's the scariest part for me is we were actually at Redwood City. The port of Redwood City can get some really good crosswind over there, some good gusts. And we were coming in to port, and it's also, we have to be very careful of the tide. So we have a tide situation always over there. They do have a cargo ship that comes in, so there's a certain area you could stay safely. And we had a really bad, like a 25-knot crosswind that day coming in, and lots of activity. And there was a tack that just went wrong. Mm. And within, and we, I, and to this day, none of us really know. Like my mentor was on the boat with us, and there's four of us. And to this day, we really don't know, because it happened so quick. It taught me a lot. And he always said, things can happen in a second. And sure enough, something went wrong with the tack. The next thing I knew, we went from the right side of the shore to the left side, and we were sideways. Mm. We had completely went over. The gusts were so strong, it was pushing us over, getting to be almost on the land. And so we were completely sideways. So we're walking on the side part.
Wow.
And I'm following my mentor, and he's like, okay, we're getting the sails down super quick, getting the anchor out so that we don't keep going further onto the land. And then calling to try to get some help, and we wind up flagging down someone to tow us out. But in that moment, when you had all that winds pushing and then you're trying to get the sails down, watching him was amazing to see. In like seconds, he was up on the mast and doing all this stuff, and I was trying to help. But it was, it was, that taught me so much about you paying attention and being able to react. You have no time. You can't really panic. You have to think about what's next.
That's good with your military training, too.
Yeah.
What did you take from your time with the Coast Guard, even though you were kind of a landlubber, but what did you take from that time?
A forced landlubber.
Yes, took from that time that translated to what you do now.
Oh, my gosh. It's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. Because I was in Loran, our job is to help sailors navigate, right? And fast forward many years later, I'm actually doing that now, too, in a different way, where my career has been marketing communications, and the pandemic is, I kind of, just like a lot, many people went through a pivot, went through a personal moment where I asked myself, what am I doing? What can I do better? How can I make a difference? And I saw that the culture of most companies, especially in the startup world, is broken. And I thought, what can I do to help that? So I launched a new business last year in consulting and helping startups create these cultures that make employees love where they work and can scale with them. And so I was thinking about the parallel. It was interesting how I was helping sailors navigate since 1987. And now I'm doing it. I'm helping navigate in a different world. It's also been very interesting in thinking about that moment where I was in peril and I was on the side of the boat. When I was in Loran Station, Middletown, our job, we were we would transmit the signal. If the equipment broke, we would fix it. But we also were monitoring the signal. And if something was wrong with the signal, a boat or plane could crash. And we had 90 seconds to let anyone know that that signal was false. It was wrong. Don't follow it. And if we didn't, you know, bad things could happen. And if you messed up, you could be court-martialed or go through a captain's mast. It's that. It's almost like air traffic controller. And I had that flash through my head when we were going sideways about how quick things happen and how you really have to. It's about how you show up, right? How you show up and how you can add value. And panicking will get you, will help nobody.
So before we let you go, is for your business, you have a website you're pushing or you'd like us to look at?
Thank you. Actually, the best place for people to find me right now is LinkedIn.
At LinkedIn. Carol Hink, H-I-N-K. And of course, Patty, salesporttalk.com.
Right.
As always.
Yes.
All right. Well,
thank you, Carol.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. It was great meeting you. Thanks for your stories.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
We want to get more women out on the water.
Yeah. You're a radio natural, too. I'm Rick Tittle. We will take a quick break and we will come on back on Sports Byline.